Off the ball
with BetDAC.com for great exchange back and lay prices on every sporting event.
One final text on the Bundy Accu situation. If you're just joining us and off the ball, the news is that he has signed a new 3-year contract, keeping him in Connacht. And also today we heard that Alton Delan is staying out west after signing a 2-year extension to his current deal. It's huge news for Irish and Connacht rugby in particular. Barry in Galway says, guys, Bundy Accu is a totally genuine guy who's really bought into Galway and Connacht. He could have gone to France at double the money. He's an honorary Galwegian already. Nobody more genuinely committed to the cause. So I'd have to agree with that, Barry. It doesn't move me from my opinion that 3 years just isn't long enough. But Bundy Accu has poured his heart and soul into Connacht rugby since he arrived back in 2014. That is not up for debate. Going to give you an opportunity to enter tonight's competition. It's the chance to win a pair of tickets to the FAI Cup final between Dundalk and Cork City. It's at the Aviva Stadium on Sunday, the 6th of November. To be in with a chance of winning, just answer this question. Who won last year's FAI Cup final? Should be an easy enough answer. Text your name and answer to 53106 and we'll announce a winner later in the show. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going stateside for US sports. We're heading to Cleveland ahead of a massive night in the city. Game one of the World Series against the Chicago Cubs. It will start just after 1 o'clock tomorrow morning. So 1 o'clock tonight, Irish time. That'll be an interesting one. But for now, we're going to turn our attention to rugby. I'm delighted to say we have Ulster and Ireland out half Paddy Jackson on the line. Paddy, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Just in from into the house from training. Got the feet up now and have a week off.
How does Tuesday training look? What was on the menu today?
It's fairly the Monday, Tuesday. It's kind of the big days for the week. So we've had a pitch session yesterday and another one today. So yesterday was a bit of attack and today was a bit more defence. So fairly standard stuff for us, unfortunately.
We always hear players talking about the noticeable upturn in the edge and training in the week of a Champions Cup game. And while the Pro 12 is obviously the meat and drink that you guys have to deal with every week, when you take that extra step up to Europe, you can just sense there's a slightly different atmosphere in the air on that first session in the week of a big game. And you've gone through 2 weeks of that now. So by contrast, is there ever a noticeable drop in that sort of edge or atmosphere when you revert back to the Pro 12 the week after 2 weekends of European rugby?
There can be. It's always just a bit more intense, I think, in the European games. But I think for us, I haven't really noticed much of a drop off this week. As you know, it's another huge game for us against Munster, and there'll be a bit of emotion around the game, obviously. But I think those interpro games are always huge weeks as well. So guys are looking to put their best foot forward for the game, and you're playing against guys. You know, obviously fighting for positions at the international level. So I think there hasn't been much of a drop-off this week because we all know it's going to be, a big game.
There's been a lot of talking over the last couple of years that we don't get to see the true Ulster against Munster or the true Munster-Leinster or vice versa, depending on which the two provinces might be up for discussion because of the player welfare rule and the manner in which you guys in the Irish setup are being minded. How much of Ulster's best 15 in comparison to, say, the games with Exeter and Bordeaux will we see against Munster this weekend? Without asking you to tell me exactly who Les Kiss is going to be picking, of course.
I think there might be a few changes obviously coming into the international setup as well. So, we luckily for us, we've got a lot more depth in our squad from the last couple of years, especially, you know, in the back line. We've got a lot of guys fighting for positions there. So, this is a chance for anyone that maybe hasn't got some game time over the last few weeks to get in there and fight for their position. So, and I presume that there'll be possibly a few changes at the Munster end as well. So, I think it's great that the guys are getting their chance, and still going to be a lot of big names out there, and hopefully both teams can put on a good show for the crowd.
It's been such an eventful 2 weeks, Paddy, hasn't it? It only seems like a couple of days ago that we were watching Bordeaux sneak away with those late couple of scores, and we were thinking Ulster they could really pay for this, and they're probably going to take a little time to get over this. 24 hours later, the world is mourning the loss of Anthony Foley. You guys almost immediately have to get stuck into preparing for Exeter. And maybe that what happened to you at the end in Bordeaux has almost just been forgotten about because of the seismic events that have happened subsequent to that.
Yeah, it does. It puts things a bit into perspective quite a bit. I think, you know, we all came off the pitch. We were hurting pretty bad from being in a great position to win the game to being, you know, pretty far behind in terms of the scoreboard. And we really messed up in the last 10 minutes there, which left us hurting after the game. But then when you go in here, something that's happened with Anthony Foley there kind of makes you realise that there's a lot more to life than just winning or losing a rugby game. And I think, you know, like, there's obviously been a huge amount of talk around it not just the rugby world, but all over the world. People have been affected by it and heard about it, and especially, you know, the Munster guys. And you just saw the way that they came out against Glasgow there at the weekend. It was amazing to watch. And you know, it was a few hours before our game, and I was at home watching it. And to be honest, it was pretty inspiring for us as well, going into a big European game. So I think it's a huge loss. And when the Munster guys come up to play us the weekend, I'm sure, you know, that the emotions will still be high, but the respect's there. And we're hopefully put on a really good game for everyone.
Yeah, there was an incredible rendition of the fields at the Kingspan Stadium before your game last weekend. It was quite something, and I think it just reflected the sort of respect that was been paid to Anthony by everybody across Europe over the last few days. Before we move on to the Exeter game, just on the Bordeaux situation, eventually I'm sure you guys would have had to sit down and go through it. And I know you probably would have been kicking that penalty, the one that would have salvaged the bonus point before Bordeaux went down the other end and got that late try. Do you mention anything to Paul Marshall about the decision he took, or is there a culture within Ulster, within the team, that guys take decisions on its own merits? They see the play that they think is best to run, and sometimes it comes off, sometimes it doesn't, but you can't necessarily go through a guy for trying something. What's the dynamic there when you think of how crucial that losing bonus point might have been when everything's totted up at the end of all this?
Yeah, well, it's something we've spoken about as a team at the start of the season. You know, we missed out on a home semi-final in the league by 1 point, and we missed out on qualifying from our group in Europe by 1 point. So, you know, it could be something that could come back and haunt us later on when it comes to qualifying. But, you know, I think Paul maybe knew maybe just after the Bordeaux went down the pitch to score, I think he probably knew that he'd possibly made the wrong decision. But
there's no need to remind him.
Yeah, it's not something that we would go on having a go at him. You know, he's a class player, and he's one guy that in a quick tap kind of position you'd want him on the ball. So, you know, it could have gone the other way. He could have tapped in and got us in for a try there, and then we're maybe trying to push to salvage the game. So, you know, that's from my point of view, I think it's probably positive play from him. It shows that he wants to score tries, and unfortunately it was maybe just maybe got caught up in the moment a bit. But you know, we're not going to hold it against him. He's obviously one of our own, and we backed our back all our players at Ulster.
So you go from losing a lead with under 10 minutes to go to losing the game, coming away with nothing. Then you get back to the change room and the horrible news starts to filter through about Anthony Foley. And then you prepare for the Exeter game. We saw a lot from Ronan O'Gara over the last week, and he was obviously been questioned about Anthony. That play from you at the end was a very Ronan O'Gara type play, an injury time match winning drop goal. And there was still time for Exeter to go down the other end and another Ulsterman and Gareth Steenson to just push another attempt gnarly wide. It was incredible stuff. There was barely time for the TV replays, Paddy, to actually be shown before one of the two sides was making a play 50, 60 yards down the field and preparing to drop another goal. What was it like to be in the midst of all that?
Yeah, it was crazy rugby, to be honest. And watching back the highlights just kind of shows, you know, if Steeno's second attempt had gone over, you know, it's just shows how crazy rugby can get at sometimes.
And, yeah, that's pretty much you guys out of the competition, isn't it? If that's a yard left, you boys are pretty much out.
Yeah, yeah, and I think I was kind of standing underneath the post just in case it came ricocheted off one of the posts, and to be for the maybe first few meters of the drop kick, I was sure it was going over, and it drifted wide. So I think, you know, it was a bit of luck in there for us, and it's unlucky for Steno and unlucky for Exeter that it didn't work out for them. But I think, you know, being home in the European game, I think we would have rather have been a bit further ahead in that game as well. And I think it it shows that I don't think particularly we've been playing our best rugby over the last few weeks, and I think if we had been at our best, then we wouldn't have, hopefully wouldn't have been in that situation where we're almost losing the game at home, last kick of the game. So yeah, it was lucky for us and unfortunate for them.
It puts you in a really tough spot in the pool though, doesn't it? Just the 4 points from the two games, where probably in an ideal world you might have been walking away with maybe six or something a little better if you'd held out a little longer in Bordeaux. There's going to have to be one or two spectacular results from this position, do you think, for you guys to get out into the last eight? But and not something that maybe that Ulster have shown in the last couple of years, but a lot of people think it is within your armoury.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said earlier, we were hurting after that Bordeaux game and we really shot ourselves in the foot. I mean, I think we spent so much of that second half defending and, you know, eventually it just didn't go in our favour. But I think even going down by 1 point, we should have got ourselves back in the position to possibly get a penalty attempt or a drop goal attempt where we could have stolen the game. And I think that was, for me, as a 10, the disappointing thing. And I know everyone in the squad was disappointed that we kind of, I think we definitely let ourselves down there, where possibly we could have kept our composure, and there was just one or two slip-ups which led to the game completely running away from us. So that is frustrating, and it's put ourselves into a tough position in the group. But as you saw from that extra game, rugby can, you know, it's a crazy game, and anything could happen. So I think, you know, it'll be two huge games against Claremont back-to-back, but we'll definitely be going over there and at the King's Band, backing ourselves to get wins.
And from an international point of view, Paddy, obviously once we get through these couple of weeks of Pro 12 rugby, there's going to be a couple of massive games against New Zealand as Ireland become the next team to try and break this incredible run of 18 successive wins, try and break over 100 years without Ireland actually beating the All Blacks. During the summer, it was the first time really in the absence of Johnny Sexton that we had a real insight into how mature you had become as a fly half, managing the team, managing the back line, kicking your goals in one of the most inhospitable environments you can get in international rugby. It's a long time ago now, it seems. An awful lot of water has gone under the bridge in the meantime. But when you look back on the summer, how much of a better player do you think that experience has made you when it comes to the challenges that are right in front of you now, trying to take on Johnny, trying to fend off the likes of Joey Carberry, or even to a lesser extent, Tyra Blaendall, he was brilliant at the weekend. He qualifies for Ireland next year. The 10 jersey is becoming even more sought after year after year.
Yeah, I think that competition, that's when you get the best out of players. And, you know, obviously we'll all be pushing to get that starting jersey, but I think it can only be good in terms of our own performances. It will just keep pushing us all on to become better players. And, you know, I've been waiting for a chance to get a few games back-to-back in the green jersey for a while. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to get that chance in South Africa. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm a firm believer in, you know, getting exposure at that kind of level and experience. And I've slowly been building my experience at, you know, at the club level and in the league and in Europe. And, you know, and that now I'm hopefully going to be getting a bit more exposure at international level. And, you know, I'm just excited about trying to develop as a player and develop my ability as an international player. So that's kind of what I have my sights set on. And, you know, if I get you know, 10 minutes of a chance to pull on the green jersey, you know, that's valuable to me.
I suppose, you know, the way the world works and the media works with World Rugby nowadays, and given such a high profile game that it now is, there's always somebody whose contract situation is being talked about in the background. You're probably going to fall into that group in the coming weeks and months because your deal with the RFU expires at the end of this campaign. Slight talk of a move to England, but generally, how do you feel about that situation, and how do you go about ensuring that it doesn't necessarily become a distraction with so many huge games to be played between now and the summer?
Yeah, that's kind of the main thing I've been focused on, trying not to let it distract me. And, you know, I've obviously had meetings and been trying to get things sorted. So I've been trying to keep that at the back of my mind, and stuff I've been what I've been trying to sort, you know, with my agent and with Bryn Cunningham at Ulster. So, yeah, I think for me, it's something I don't really, not something I enjoy too much. The negotiations and that kind of side of rugby, you know, I've rugby's something I've been playing since I was 6 years old, and it's kind of you know, it's what I've always loved, and it's kind of gone from, you know, going from your childhood hobby and something you love playing to kind of your job as well. It's a bit bizarre, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm one of those guys that just wants to play, and the kind of that other side of it, I have to just let it take care of itself, and hopefully I can get it sorted soon. And
it's something we might see. We might see an end game on soon enough, is it?
Yeah, possibly. We'll have to see. I can't really say much more else on it, but you know how it is.
Okay, final question. When's the next video? What are we going to see from a hotel in Chicago? Will it be a little bit of rap? I know you've obviously got the miming down, so that probably won't wash anymore. We do need you to kind of take it to the next level now at this stage.
Yeah, that seems to be a thing in these interviews. Everyone gets to get the serious questions out of the way and then get to the...
Well, no, I got the trivial stuff out of the way, and now we're getting down to the serious stuff.
Yeah, this is the serious stuff now. no, like, I've you know, taken a bit of a backseat on that. I think quite as I've slowly grown up or trying to grow up. But yeah, no, there's still a few videos floating around for close friends and family, so you might see a few pop out, possibly. Maybe in the off season, but I've been trying to let the rugby do the talking at the moment. So we'll see what happens. Maybe when I retire, I'll take rapping a bit more seriously.
Well, we look forward to that. Not to your retiring, but whatever you might produce after that. If we see a leak or two over the next few months, we know they didn't come from you. Paddy, listen, thanks a million for taking the call. Best luck this weekend and over the next few weeks. It's been good talking to you.
Cheers. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Off the Ball.
Get all the best bits at newstalk.com/offtheball with BetTac, the sports betting exchange for all your betting needs on desktop and on the BetTac app. Available from the App Store or on BetTac.com.